On Thanksgiving night earlier this year, a Walmart store in Palmdale, California, had a pre-Black Friday event, one of those doorbuster events. And according to the Los Angeles Times, two families came to blows inside that Walmart, and later the confrontation spilled outside into the parking lot. And when police arrived, the two families were screaming at each other, right up in their face, people up in their faces, screaming at one another. Now, fortunately, stuff like this doesn't happen that often. It's tragic whenever it does happen. But it's not hard to believe, because all of us have experienced arguments and conflicts with other people. You might have even experienced that on your way to church this morning. That's because conflict with others is part of everyday life. Like it or not, it's part of life. Conflict with others is part of everyday human life. And people find themselves in conflict for at least two reasons. First, people get angry with other people. People begin confrontations with others because something something they owned was either taken from them or destroyed by somebody else's negligence or somebody else's intentional desire to do damage or just somebody else's carelessness. And so people find themselves in conflict sometimes because people have intentionally or unintentionally destroyed something of value from another person. A second reason for conflict happens when someone refuses to give someone else what that other person thinks they deserve. It can be any kind of thing. It can be a purchase that they think they made or value for their money that they think they're entitled to. It can be respect. But people get angry and confrontations begin in human life when people feel that they are owed something and they don't receive it. And so conflict with others is part of everyday life. Like it or not, it's true. And the Bible would tell us that this also is true of our relationship with God. We humans are in conflict with God every day of our lives. That conflict is not merely a human thing, but it is something that all of humanity has with the living God. And the truth of the matter is, we have issues with God, but God has issues with us. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning, that God's side of the conflict between himself and humanity. And the truth of the matter is that, according to Scripture, God has some very good reasons for being in conflict with us. And remember those two things I said cause conflict in people's lives. One is when people have something that they value taken or destroyed. And the other is when people deserve something or feel they deserve something and they don't receive what they deserve. This causes conflict. And the same is true with God. In our relationship with God, the Bible would say that humanity is in conflict with God because we humans have taken and destroyed much value from God. God created us, and therefore God sets the rules by which we exist and how we live and function in this world. And the Bible says God has taken the value that he has embedded in this world. And in fact, we have taken, I should say, the value that God has embedded in this world. And we have taken it, and we have destroyed it in many ways. One of them is simply that God has created us, and he calls us, he commands us, to love him and to love others. The Bible says that God has commanded us to love him and to love others. And love, of course, is value. It's an important value. And yet, we see this in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 30, where the Scripture says, "The most important commandment," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And so in Scripture, the Bible says the two greatest commandments that God gave are the commandment to love God and love others. And yet the Bible tells us, and you know from your own experience, that there are times when we don't love God, and certainly times when we don't love others. And so instead of loving God and loving others like God commands us to, people misuse the name of God, they use it as a curse word, or they swear to God about things that are untrue, that are absolutely false. This is misusing God's name and taking and destroying the value of God's name. Instead of loving God and others, people abuse other people who are made in the image of God. The Bible says we are all created in the image of God, and because we're created in the image of God, we need to treat each other with dignity and value human life. And yet the Bible says that we curse other people in the things that we say. And this is taking the value and destroying the value out of human life that God created us to show. Another way in which we refuse or show or do not love God and others is that we break God's laws, God's other laws. And when we break God's other laws, that brings disorder. It brings chaos. It brings pain and misery into the world. And so God is angry with us, and God has conflict with us, the human race. Because we refuse to love him the way he commanded us to, we refuse to love others the way that we ought to. Humanity has taken and destroyed the value that God has created in this world, the value that God himself has intrinsically as God, and the value that he created in us when he made us in his image. The other reason that God is angry with humanity, or another reason among many, is that humanity refuses to give God what he deserves. Not only have we taken the value that God has created in this world and destroyed it, but we refuse to give God what he deserves. Now, I talked already about how God is the creator and we are his creation. But as our creator, God deserves our worship and praise. But instead of giving God our worship and praise, people worship and serve other things instead, including themselves, or material things, or money. And so this is one of the ways in which we refuse to give God the glory, the worship that he deserves. And this causes conflict with the living God. As our creator, God deserves our worship and praise, but people worship and serve other things instead, including themselves, material things, and or money. The Bible also says that God is angry with people for our sinful behavior and for worshiping other things instead of him. As God, he has the right to set the rules by which humanity should operate. And yet, the Bible says we have broken those rules, not only us as a human race, but each of us individually is guilty of breaking the rules and laws by which God commanded us to live. And so that's refusing to give God the obedience that he deserves. And so why are we in conflict with God? Well, it's because God has a good reasons for being in conflict with us. We've taken or destroyed much value, and we have refused to give God what he deserves, his glory and worship and honor. Now, there's one more aspect to this that we need to understand in terms of our conflict with God. We humans are in conflict with God every day of our lives. But the truth of the matter is that God is going to stand as judge over us. God will use his rule and rights as judge to settle the conflict in his favor. Someday the conflict that God has with humanity will be settled. And it will be settled in God's favor. And that's because God, the judge, will rule in his own favor, and not because of favoritism, but because it is the just and righteous ruling. The Bible says that God will judge everyone who has ever lived, that someday we will give account to God for the way that we have lived our lives on this earth. And God is a just judge. He does not favor himself or anyone else in his courtroom, because he doesn't need to. As our perfect God, he has the right to have justice for our sins against him. And so God's judgment against us is just. That is, it is the only right decision that God could make or anyone else could make. The most impartial judge would have to say that because we have destroyed the value that God created in this world, and because we have refused to give God what he deserves, he has every right to be in conflict with us, and he has every right to rule against us when we stand before him someday. And so that means we're in big trouble. We humans are in conflict with God every day of our lives. That's the bad news. But the Bible says there's some good news, and it's very good news. And that is that Jesus Christ is the one person who could make peace in our conflict with God. Jesus Christ is the one person who could make peace in our conflict with God. And our passage for this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, tells us what Jesus Christ has done to make peace with God for us. According to verse 3, the Bible says that God wants to make peace in the conflict between us and God. That this is something that God desires. God desires for us to be at peace with him. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, which says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And I said earlier that God is in conflict with us and has good reasons to be in conflict with us. Because in our sins, we have failed to give him the glory that he deserves, and we have taken and we have damaged and broken this beautiful world in which he has made. And we have destroyed value. And so you might think that God wants vengeance and that God wants justice. And it is true that God does want justice, but this passage tells us that God also wants peace with us, that the Lord wants this conflict between us and him to be resolved. And that's what these verses are telling us, that it is the desire of God for the conflict between him and us to cease. And what did God do about this? The Bible says this is why Christ came on Christmas. This is why we celebrate Christmas, and this is why we remember both the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because Jesus came into this world to make peace with God for us. And he did that by paying the penalty that you and I owe God that we could never pay for ourselves. Look at verse 6 of our passage with me this morning, which says, "Who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Now that "who" refers back to the end of verse 5, which says, "the man Christ Jesus." And then it goes on and says, Christ Jesus is the one who gave himself for us as a ransom for all people. And the idea of being a ransom, of course, is telling us that Christ paid a penalty that we could not pay. He paid the penalty that you and I owe God. Now, if you think about it in your personal life, if you take out a loan from the bank and sign on the dotted line promising to repay every cent that you have taken and have borrowed from the bank, and yet you go into default and you stop making payments and the bank gets a judgment against you. Maybe they foreclose against the property. If we're talking about here about a mortgage, something you borrowed money for, they may repossess that thing. They may foreclose on the property. But what they really want is to get paid. They want the just payment that you promised you would give them. And the Bible says that this is what Christ did for us. The idea of the word ransom there in verse 6 is telling us that Christ paid what we owed to God. And this is a price that we could never pay ourselves. The Bible says that the cost of our sin is beyond our ability to pay. Because the Bible says even the righteous things we do are tainted by sin. And so we could never, by doing righteous things, pay off the debt that we owe God for damaging the value in this world and for refusing to give him the glory and the other things that he deserves. And so Christ paid the penalty that you and I owe to God for our sins. And this is how Christ can serve as the one who takes away our sins, how he can make peace with God for us. Because according to verse 5, Christ now serves humanity as our one and only way to peace with God. Verse 5 says this, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between mankind and God, and that is Christ himself, the man, Christ Jesus. This is why Christ came on Christmas. Christ now serves humanity as our one and only way to peace with God. Now imagine that someone is suing you for damaging their property. And you know you're guilty, but you're also poor. And so they sue you, and the lawsuit is sent to binding arbitration. The arbitrator in a lawsuit like this is what's called a mediator. He's one whose job is to bring the two sides together, to settle, to bring peace to a dispute between two parties that have a conflict. And if you are guilty in this fictitious lawsuit that I've described, and you know you're guilty, and the arbitrator listens to all the facts, and he is a just judge, he is going to come to the same conclusion. He also is going to come to the conclusion that you are guilty and that you owe what the other party is trying to get from you. And so the arbitrator listens to all the facts and then says to you, you are liable for $10,000 because of this damage, and you must pay. All right, he now has a judgment against you. But then because you can't pay the $10,000, what if the arbitrator himself took out his wallet and had the cash in there that was necessary and paid instead of you, paid on your account, paid the judgment against you that he just imposed himself? In a sense, this is what Christ has done. And this is the core message of our faith, of Christianity, that when you and I owe God, in order to settle our disagreement with him, our hostilities toward him, in order for God no longer to be angry with us and to righteously judge against us in the future, Jesus came and not only will rule justly, but he, when he died on the cross as a ransom for our sins, he paid the penalty for the sins that you and I have committed. This is what Christ did. And so the major point of this message, and one of the things that we need to learn at Christmas, is that Christ came into this world on Christmas to make peace with God for us. Why Christmas? Because on Christmas, Christ came into this world to make peace with God for us. And so that means the invitation is open to you here at this time, at Christmas, to receive God's forgiveness in Christ and be reconciled to him through Christ. This is the message of Christmas, that Christ came into this world in order to pay the sins that you and I could not pay for ourselves. And now, having paid in his cross for our sins, he calls us to come to him and receive as a free gift the reconciliation that he offers to us through his death on the cross. This is the core of our gospel message. And if you've come here this morning and you're not a Christian, that is, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never received the free gift of salvation by turning from your sins and saying, God, I believe that Jesus died for me and I receive his free gift of salvation. If you've never done that, then this morning, this is your opportunity to receive the greatest Christmas gift you ever could. To receive the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we receive this gift simply by saying that we receive it. In other words, we receive this gift by faith. We believe that what God said is true, that if we turn to him and say, I believe Jesus died for my sins and paid the penalty for my sins, then God grants us as a gift eternal life. He treats us as if we never sinned or as if we don't owe him anything because Jesus paid it all. And so that's the first application point for this morning. It's the first day we take this idea that Christ came into this world on Christmas to make peace with God for us. And that is, if you've come here and you're in hostility with God, because of your sins. Maybe you didn't know it until today, but now you do. Now you know that God is justly angry at you for your sins. The first way to apply this passage, and the only way really that matters for you at this moment, is to receive the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is call out to Him in faith and say, I believe Jesus died for me. Save me from my sins, Lord. And the Bible says just that quickly, you will receive the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. The second way to apply this passage, that Christ came into the world on Christmas to make peace with God for us, is to pray for the salvation of people around the world. One of the things we can do on Christmas to honor the true meaning of Christmas, to honor Christ for coming into this world on Christmas, one of the things we can do is to pray for the salvation of people around the world. And look at our passage in the first four verses, because that's where the passage begins. It says in 1 Timothy 2:1-7, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. These verses tell us that it is God's desire for the gospel message, that is, that Christ will save sinners as a free gift. God wants that message broadcast around the world. And one of the ways in which we participate in this truth, one of the ways in which we take the truth of the gospel message, the central idea of Christmas, that Christ died for sinners, one of the ways we do that is by praying that God would bring peace on this earth, that the rulers of this world that are mentioned in verse 2, kings and all those in authority, that they would create conditions in the world that are beneficial to peace so that the gospel can spread quickly. And so one of the ways in which you can keep Christ in Christmas, as the saying goes, one of the ways in which you can celebrate Christmas as a Christian in a way that honors God is not only to remember and give thanks for Christ and the salvation that you have because of Him, but also to pray for the spread of the gospel message around the world. And maybe on Christmas Day you want to take some time and pray for the missionaries that we support here at a church, at our church, or others that you know who are out spreading the gospel message for the sake of God's glory. One way to celebrate Christmas is to pray for the spread of the gospel and for the salvation of people around the world. The Bible says this is pleasing to God. Finally, a third way to apply this big idea, this truth, that Christ came into this world on Christmas to make peace with God for us. A third way to apply that is to teach others around you what God has done for us through Christ. Notice at the end of our passage, Paul says this about himself in verse 7. He says, "And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher to the Gentiles." In this passage, the scriptures are telling us that one of the ways in which we can apply this passage is to teach the gospel to other people. Now, we don't have the same commissioning and certainly not the same authority that the apostles had, apostles like Paul. But now that they've passed from the scene, they have passed on, in a sense, the baton of the gospel message to us. And it's our responsibility as Christians to keep spreading the gospel message until it does fill the whole world. And so one of the ways in which we can celebrate Christmas, and one of the ways in which we can apply the truth that Christ came into the world on Christmas to make peace with God for us, is simply to tell others about Jesus Christ, to look for opportunities around us, to teach others around us what God has done for us in Christ. And one of the ways to do this, perhaps, is to take some time to go around your neighborhood and wish your neighbors Merry Christmas, but also ask them if they understand what Christmas is all about and look for opportunities to share the gospel message with them. Christ came into this world on Christmas to make peace with God for us. Have you received the peace that Jesus offers us in Christ, that God offers us in Jesus Christ? Have you received the good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ? Do you have peace with God this morning because you've come to know Jesus by faith? If so, then you know why Christmas exists. It exists to glorify God by making peace with God for us. Christ came into this world on Christmas to make peace with God for us.